Let me talk to you for a minute about my friend Michael Bush. Mike has spent over 20 plus years with Northwestern Mutual as a financial advisor and manages an office here in Louisville. He's my own personal financial advisor. One reason is that he knows that my investments in real estate and my business are my best investments where I get my best returns. After that, I also invest in the stock market for diversification and tax advantages. Mike and his team have done a great job handling those investments for me. Their team takes a comprehensive look at planning, so he's regularly bringing up ideas that add value and build a more secure plan. Things like protecting my income with disability insurance, protecting my family with life insurance, and ways to get more out of my cash that would otherwise be sitting in a savings account earning nothing. Mike and his team at Northwestern Mutual have been great partners for me and my family, and I encourage you to give him a call. No obligation, just a conversation to see how they can help. Call Michael Bush at 502-727-2758 or email him at michael.bush@nm.com. Jay Pitts here, leader of the number one real estate team in Kentucky and host right here on 1080 WKJK. While the average agent sold just 7 homes last year, our team successfully sold over 600. Our proven marketing system gets homes sold for top dollar and gets them sold fast. Many are seeing headlines about prices going down. Want to know the real truth? Text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent via text directly to your phone within 1 hour.
Hello, my name is Megan. Jay's team recently sold my house, and he really went above and beyond. It was fast and easy, and I got $10,000 over list price. The whole team really made this experience simple and stress-free.
Remember, text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888, and receive your no-obligation home value sent directly to your cell phone via text within 1 hour.
We spent the past couple of years in a crazy hot market. Louisville home sales decline as demand outpaces supply.
Effective communication is at the core of any situation.
If you master these two ideas, you'll have a chance of being successful at residential real estate marketing.
I think you need to be looking for investment opportunities that move the needle.
The market will never crash if demand exceeds supply.
This is what I've been telling you all along.
This is the Jay Pitts Show.
And we're back, folks. Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show here on Talk Radio 1080. I'm your host, Jay Pitts. Feels like it's been a while.
It's been 2 weeks.
We did miss last week. I forgot. Ryan had a little.
Yeah, I got my first fillings ever.
First fillings.
Cavities ever.
How old are you?
27, almost 28.
And you just had your first fillings.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Good run.
It's a good run. It's a good run. Can't ever say that again.
I hate the orthodontist. Orthodontist is fine. I hate the dentist. I think a lot of people can relate. And it's not that the people there aren't great. It's just the noises are terrible.
Oh, the smells.
Yeah. I want to wear AirPods, but they're like, we kind of got to tell you like when to do stuff or open your mouth.
Yeah. No, I 1,000% agree. I hate it. Did they numb you?
They did. So,
but you still felt it.
They had to double dose me on the numbs. So they worked on one side and started working on the other and sharp pain, felt it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, guess we're going to give you extra. So I was just extra numb for a while.
So, okay. So did you, like, they're drilling, you're talking about the part where they drill out the cavity. I'm making everybody cringe right now. So they're drilling it out. That's where you felt the pain.
Oh.
And it, like, shooting down into the roots of your teeth. Like, are you reliving it right now? That's pretty exciting.
No.
No, okay, all right. He's off it. All right, we can move on.
I was like, I could fall asleep at this point right now, though. Once they numb me up enough.
Absolutely. The laughing gas, you didn't have that, though.
No, I wish.
Laughing gas would have been fun. Oh, yes, he wishes. Okay, so yeah, it feels like we've been out for a little while.
I have to apologize for something.
Oh, ouch.
A few shows ago, I don't know if it was 4 or 5, we had Ryan Brown on.
Mm-hmm.
We all talked to, I guess it was probably way more than that now looking back. It's crazy how fast these shows fly by.
Yep.
But we were asking, how many games do we think Louisville football is going to win? I said 10, which is more than anybody else said. And I have to say, sorry, I think it might be more than that.
Correct. So you're apologizing for not going higher.
I'm apologizing for being right, but not right enough.
I said 9. I said 9.
So you're there.
So we're there, and we're going to win more, knock on wood.
I know. I was thinking, I was like, should I say this?
But at the same time, I mean, I could not have expected, and thank goodness, because basketball is atrocious, but thank goodness we can win 9 games, lose an absolute egg, lay an egg on the only loss to a bad team that we shouldn't have lost, and we should be undefeated. We should really be undefeated and in real talks about a playoff right now. But you know what? As Louisville fans, I'm used to not having nice things. So I'll just chalk it up to that. That's kind of where I'm at.
The last few years, at least.
Yeah. Well, several years, it feels like.
I feel like it's just going to drown. There's like, it's been a decade.
I keep saying few years like it's three. It's been like six.
Yeah.
It's been like six bad years.
Long time.
You know, the only bright spot we had, which is getting further away by the day, is like the Lamar Jackson Heisman.
Yeah.
You know, we've had other good runs in other sports. Baseball has had some good years. Volleyball has had some good years. You know, women's basketball has had good years. But just like, even the way those end, it always feels sour. Uh-huh. It's like, gosh, like we got, who's the volleyball team? Was it Nebraska or Wisconsin? We got buzzsawed. Just like, they made such a killer run, and then they just run up against a 6'8", 6'7", 6'9", front line, and it's like, what?
That was somebody commented on our social post about best Louisville coaches that volleyball should have been on there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Busman Kelly was on my list, right? And if had we gone to five, I definitely would have had her, but it was really close. And I think it was even in the video that I had her as an honorable mention, but I think it's definitely something.
You were going to say something right before we started recording. I don't know if it was about basketball or what.
Oh, I can't remember.
Said he had something. I don't know if you thought something good came out of the game or what.
Oh, yeah. So I shared this with some buddies last night. I'll just be honest, and I think you've been able to read between the lines on Ryan. We are not Kenny Payne fans. Not trying to say anything specific. Just the performance on the floor has been pretty bad. Like, one of the funnier graphics I've seen circulated recently was the list of Kenny Payne's top 10 wins. And it stops. It stops at six.
Yeah, top 10 wins.
Top 10
not
wins.
Against top 10 teams. Just
no.
Top 10 wins.
Top
10
wins
had.
Of all time, and there's only six actually. So, but to give him his due, I sent this this tweet was shit. It was a post game clip from last night's win against Coppin State, and it was shared from Mike Rutherford. Right, Mike Rutherford is a known Cardinal influencer. What's his blog site?
Card Chronicle.
The Card Chronicle. Okay, so I'm a big fan.
He's funny,
funny dude, and he basically said he shared this tweet or this X. What do you call a tweet on X now? Is it still a tweet? All right, he says this thing: Louisville basketball, Kenny Payne on the lack of fans showing up to the KFC Yum Center to their games so far this year, and Mike says this is the best answer he's given to any question so far since he's been at Louisville. The video clip, which we're not going to play, obviously, just basically says, look, I've got a guy here that transferred from another school that in his mind, I'm transferring to Louisville. I'm transferring to this mecca, this top 10 program, and his expectation for what it would be like once he got here has been very different in terms of fan involvement and appreciation. And Kenny just said he told the kid, hey, when we win, they'll show up. He said, I personally have played in front of 21,000 a night here at Louisville, and I know what these fans are capable of. And when we win, when we get there, you'll see it. And you know what? For the first time in his coaching tenure, there was accountability. There was understanding with the fans. There wasn't blame placing, you know. So far, we've heard so much about the mess created by previous coaches, you know, how much time and effort he's had to spend building, you know. Even this season, there's been deflection, right? And I think that's and it's unfortunate because that's where that's where he loses the fans, right? Placing blame on others, but he didn't do it. So I got to give credit where it's due. We've given him plenty of criticism. This sounded like the coach I want. Right. If that's who he is and that's who we get to see going forward, okay, win some games. He's right. We'll show up. I told you, I didn't even turn the game on. Like, I will not even watch them on television, much less go to the game. I have a friend with a box at the Yum and he calls me and says, do you want sweet tickets? And I say, no, thank you.
I think the get-in price for the Coppin State game was $3 for the lower level.
I know, and they're averaging, I think, 6,000 fans.
I know. They tried to say there was like 9,000 there last night.
There's no way.
Zero chance.
Yeah, zero chance.
Anyway, 9,000 ticket scans. I say, that is not true.
There is no way. I have to give credit. You know, I would like to be intellectually honest. I'm not a narrative driver. I am somebody who calls it like they see it. And when I see that, it was refreshing. It made me feel good. I was appreciative.
Yeah. I think it's good to give credit where credit's due. For me, though, I just don't want things like this to push the inevitable in my mind, which is getting a new coach. I don't know. We'll see when it's going to happen.
Well,
I really think they'll struggle to win another game this year.
I don't disagree with you. I like your strategy. Ryan shared a betting strategy. We must say we are not experts. Do not use our advice to place your money in wagers. But what you want to talk to him about your betting strategy for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I want to place a wager from here on out. Whoever Louisville's playing, money line, and let it ride all the way to the end of the season.
So show parlay style.
Ladder.
So when I ladder style, so that's how I was taught to bet at the track in the show parlay. My dad would let me pick a horse to show and give me $2, and whatever I won, he'd put that down on the next race to show on the next horse that I bought. And I would actually hit some runs, 5-6 in a row, and walk out of the track with $20 or something.
$2 to win.
$2 to show. It's even worse. So
win like 40 cents.
I don't hate your strategy. You will report back on how that goes.
All right, cool. So
what else you got for us today, Ryan?
Yeah, we actually have a couple real estate questions from an agent and then a consumer. So we usually do one of these. We have two for this show. I'll go over both questions right now. Mm-hmm. So the first question is, we've noticed the market start to shift with our listings. So this one's from an agent. What are your thoughts on the current Louisville market?
Okay.
The next question, will we start seeing more hostile real estate deals as the market begins to shift? So.
Right.
You know, that question I think is coming from there's less buyers out there, but also listings seem to not be going as fast. And they're just wondering, are these deals going to start to get a little more complicated than they were before? Where's everything headed? So I'll let you your answer because we only got like 50 seconds.
Well, let's take the second one. I can answer the second one first really quick. The second one, yes, we will start to see more hostile real estate transactions. It's hard to imagine a more hostility or more hostility than we've seen in the past several years, but it's coming. Sellers are more desperate. Buyers already were. Affordability has been spread very, very thin. And so when you get a deal under contract, sellers are going to really want to see it close. Okay. So they're going to negotiate, okay, to give some concessions to hopefully save deals. But then when buyers are spread too thin to assume any responsibility for themselves, you're going to see deals go boom. And when they go boom, you're going to have a lot of angry parties. You're going to have a lot more mediations, a lot more arguments, a lot more nasty grams from, you know, real estate company favorite attorneys. absolutely more hostility.
Cool. All right. We're going to cut to a couple ad sponsors, and we'll be back on the Jay Pitch Show, Talk Radio 1080, real news, real talk. See y'all in a sec.
Let me talk to you for a minute about my friend, Michael Bush. Mike has spent over 20 plus years with Northwestern Mutual as a financial advisor and manages an office here in Louisville. He's my own personal financial advisor. One reason is that he knows that my investments in real estate and my business are my best investments where I get my best returns. After that, I also invest in the stock market for diversification and tax advantages. Mike and his team have done a great job handling those investments for me. Their team takes a comprehensive look at planning, so he's regularly bringing up ideas that add value and build a more secure plan. Things like protecting my income with disability insurance, protecting my family with life insurance, and ways to get more out of my cash that would otherwise be sitting in a savings account earning nothing. Mike and his team at Northwestern Mutual have been great partners for me and my family, and I encourage you to give him a call. No obligation, just a conversation to see how they can help. Call Michael Bush at 502-727-2758 or email him at michael.bush@nm.com.
Talk Radio 1080. Real news, real talk, an iHeart Radio station.
Welcome back to the Jay Pitch Show, Talk Radio 1080, real news, real talk. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris. All right, Jay, you answered that question pretty swiftly for you, I gotta say. So that one was, will we start seeing more hostile real estate deals as the market begins to shift? You answered it quick. Quickest I've ever seen you answer a question.
Concise.
Not that you don't know how to answer questions, you just know how to answer them so well, you can talk about them forever.
You know.
So, is there any other bows you want to tie into this? Has the team started experiencing more of this? Or
actually, I've been pushing them to really, really bulletproof their transactions on the way in. And we've actually seen a dip in releases.
Nice.
In the very near term.
Is that number-wise or percentage of deals?
Both. Both. I mean, we are pretty consistent, right? You know, we're running a really interesting sales contest now.
I was literally just about to ask, what is that?
Yeah, so we're calling it, we call it Q4 Madness. So we have an agent of the week every week, and we have a point system. So, for example, you do some prospecting. We call it an hour of prospecting. Really, it's just kind of honor system. Like, if you spend an hour from 10 to 11 prospecting for new business, usually via text message, email, telephone, from the office or your home, whatever, and you self-report how many hours of that you complete. We track those. That gets you a point, right? If you miss our weekly meeting, you subtract 3 points. If you release a deal, you subtract 3 points. So that's a disincentive, right? If you get a deal, it's if you get an appointment, it's 3 points. If you get a deal, it's 5 points. If you get, so like, we add up all these points, and at the end of the week, the person with the most points is our agent of the week. If you follow our socials, we usually, you know, real estate agents are big on recognition. You know, that it's a vanity play for sure. It's an ego stroke for sure, but it gives them something because we understand like the voyeuristic nature of social media and how much of a role it plays. We give them things to show how well they're doing, and it makes them feel good about where they work. So what we did, we took that point total and we said, okay, this is not just for agent of the week anymore. We're going to actually take and seed you based on your yearly production so far, year-to-date production. You get a seed. And we had 38 participants. So we had a four person play-in round, and then we had a field of 32.
So you had 16 versus ones.
So eights versus ones. So we had nines with the play-ins. Okay. So we had two play-in games, and then we had yeah, it's funny, right? And it's every week.
Should have done this in March.
Dude, it was amazing. It's been amazing. No, you need to do it in the fourth quarter because that's when everybody's checked out.
Yeah.
You know, real estate agents get complacent in the fourth quarter when business slows down. So, and the fourth quarter, based on seasonality, it's the time you should be prospecting because when you roll over the clock to 2024, you're going to, if the weather's nice, especially, you're going to be shot out of a cannon in January and like you're playing catch up if you're not there. So anyway, long story short, here we are. We just announced our final four. I'm taking the final four participants and a spouse to Repeal Steakhouse, number one in our draft, actually number two. But number one on my draft board, we're taking them all to Repeal, the final four and a spouse. Funny enough, we had the staff. They got to fill out a bracket, and the winner of the bracket challenge for the staff also gets to go. And then we have a loser's bracket because what we realized after week one, we had half of our team out of the contest. And so we gave them a way to get back in. So the winner of the loser's bracket also gets to go to Repeal. And then the overall winner, I'm taking to R4 Remax's annual convention, airfare, hotel, and registration for the conference.
Dang, that's awesome.
So it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me a lot. The dinner itself is probably going to cost me $5,000. Oh, you know, 14 people at Repeal and like pretty much not putting many limits on it. But, okay, what does that come back to? What does that come back to in the conversation we were having is that my team has an abnormally high amount of production for November. In fact, Marcy just told me through the 15th of November, we had 31 pending transactions for the month. Pretty staggering, right? You know how many we had for the entire month of November last year in 2022?
50.
31.
31.
We had 31 for the entire month last year. We had it through 15 days this year.
Wow.
So for all the people telling you the market's dead, you know, dead man walking, we had the same amount of production this year in half the time for the month of November than we did last year.
Cool. I think that's a really good lead in to this next question. So
yeah.
Market dead. You know, I don't think it's dead. You just said you don't believe it is either, but I do believe we're seeing a shift, and that's what this question's about is this. I guess it's an agent in Louisville who said, starting to notice kind of a change with their listings on the market, and they want to know your thoughts on the Louisville market right now.
Well, it's higher days on market for sure. There's less demand for sure. Overpriced listings sitting.
Which isn't uncommon for this time of year.
No.
Okay.
No, it absolutely isn't. It isn't uncommon for real estate in general. If you are priced – So the way I was taught, you price ahead of the market, so the market bumps into you. This is counterintuitive heading into a recession or a slowdown, because what you're asking sellers to do is price lower than recent sales. Because in the very short run, prices can dip, right? You very rarely see it. You very rarely see it over long periods of time. But short dips, you can have a reduction. Now, remember, you're not asking people to sell for less than they paid. You're asking them to sell for less than what they thought they could sell for. But you got to price ahead of the market so the market bumps into you. If you are chasing the market and never catch up, then that equals no sale.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing and opposite when the market's inclining. You price even higher than the recent comps will tell you, and the market bumps into you on the way on its ascent. On its descent, it stings. That's where we're at. I think NAR expects 30% less transactions this year than last. Okay, you're ignorant if you ignore that. You can't ignore it. It's just, here's the thing, and this is what I always say. One agent, one good agent, or a group of agents, a small group. Even my group is a small group, 120 in the company, 45 on the team. That's small. There's 6,000 in Louisville. A small group of agents or a single agent can transcend the market. Like, it's not that hard. Your competition isn't great, right? It isn't. Most realtors are not qualified. It's the truth. It's because there are low barriers to entry. So go out there and transcend the market. That's what I'm asking you to do. You know, I mean, I think, you know, Ryan, you went out on your own, left the team and started your own practice outside of the team here recently, right? I think if you had to choose a time, okay, all times available, you can go back in time, it probably wouldn't have been now.
No.
Right? Ideally speaking, it was the right timing for you. Okay, but the brisk nature of the 2021 market might have been the optimum choice. But the truth is, you're doing very well. I don't mean to gas you up on air here, but you're doing very well because one agent can transcend the market. You do the right things, you're going to get the right results.
Yeah, and I actually think there's an argument. You know, most would say, like you said, 2 years ago maybe would have been the best time to go off on your own, but that's not a normal market. You don't really find out what you're made of if you go out on your own then. Right now, yeah. More normal, find out what you're made of, go make stuff happen. This is going to be how things are, hopefully more often than what we've seen the last few years.
I mean, Ryan, okay, so here I can't say it any better than this, so I have to use myself as an example. I started in 2008. Okay, the worst time to ever start. Worse, way worse than now. I started then. What I'll tell you is, if I hadn't started then, I wouldn't be as far ahead as I am now. Because the progress I made while everyone else was getting out or sitting on their hands put me light years ahead of my competition. And when the market started speeding up, they had to play, they were stuck in quicksand and had to play catch up, and I'm sprinting dead ahead.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me ask you, some of the agents you're close with across the country that have really successful teams, do you know how their timeline stacks up to yours? Did they start around 2008 too? Is there a correlation with some of the best team leaders in the country right now starting somewhere between 2007 and 2010?
Most of them started after that. Most of them were like 11 and 12.
I was wondering if that time breeded like super agents.
You know, I'm sure there's some, but most of them didn't start in REO like I did. I will tell you this, another guy who's quite successful in San Diego that I know really well, a guy by the name of Kyle Whistle. We've referred deals out there to him. You know, he's taking care of clients for us in San Diego. He did. He was a short sale agent. Him personally, individual short sale agent. His father was in the business. So, yeah, I mean, that's Kyle. But, like, most of them that I talked to, like, they got into coaching around the same time I did, right? 2013, 2014, when the market had gotten really good in 12, and you start, like, having no time, and you're a ship without a rudder, you're working all the time, like, most of them got into coaching then, and they really honed and harnessed like certain skills within a certain period of time before the market got too crazy.
Okay. Yeah. So earlier a few minutes ago, I was laughing at something you were saying, talking about dealing with agents that might not be the best, or trying to figure out. Do you see the question down there on segment two?
Yeah, I see it. I see it. Good transition, Ryan. Yeah,
we can maybe address that.
The question you have to ask yourself is, did I say that because I saw it on the rundown?
I don't know.
Ooh, 4D chess over here.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, we'll be back. Talk Radio 1080, J Pitch Show, Real News, Real Talk. See you in a sec. Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, they have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670.
Hey, listen up. Do you own a car, truck, or boat? Do you own a business? Do you own or rent a home? If so, let's face it, you need to protect these assets from damage caused by accidents. For that, you need a friend in the insurance business. Let my friend John Blackford with Kentucky Farm Bureau protect you. Like many of you listening, Jen and I have worked hard to build our businesses over the years. John has delivered on his promise to protect us when we've needed it the most. We've experienced losses as small as a crack in our windshield or as big as a catastrophic property fire. While he has two decades of experience, Kentucky Farm Bureau has over a century of operational excellence all across the state. Every year, insurance companies move in and out of Kentucky, but Farm Bureau has proven to be a constant. John and Kentucky Farm Bureau have perfected the balance of providing service and coverage at competitive rates. Listen, we've all worked hard, and loss or damage is inevitable. This is why we all need a friend in the insurance industry. John Blackford has been that genuine friend to me for years. Let John Blackford be that friend to you. Call him today at 502-327-5480 for advice on all your insurance needs.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1080. Real news, real talk.
And we're back, folks. Welcome back to the J Pitt Show. All right, Ryan, so how do you handle bad agents? That's the next question, right?
Yep.
That's the next question. All right, so we talked about the market, right? That led us to a conversation of transcending the market and difficult agents, like competition that's not worth their salt. So the question is, how do you handle with bad agents on the other side of a deal when they have no idea what they're doing?
And when, like, this question's more like, they're not even, it's not that they're bad to work with, like you don't like them. It's almost like you do like them, but they don't know what they're doing and the contracts are wrong and they're just not even taking care of what they're supposed to be for their clients.
Well, so there was a point in my career where I handled that. It's a good time to talk about it with the Sitzer Burnett, which, but I don't know, there's some news on that in the last day or so. We can get into that in a minute. But, you know, we've talked a lot about commissions and, you know, the process for which commissions are chosen and offered and buyer agent compensation and whatnot. But I had a moment in my career where I was quite frustrated with the low quality of buyer representation. Okay. And I was really in growth mode and really getting to a point where I was doubling, tripling, quadrupling my marketing spend, really trying to set some distance. You know, I use the example of head-to-head poker sometimes, right? They say that the size of your stack is just as important as the cards you're dealt when you're playing head-to-head. So that's kind of similar when you're competing for a listing against another agent and I've got all these resources that I can throw at this thing. And you don't, right? Not you specifically, but my competition, right? So I'd go in and we call it stacking the cool, right? You stack that cool up and you slide it over in front of the client. Say, look at all this cool I'm about to show you. Okay. And the other guys are like, they're like, what are you going to do? They're like, oh, put it on the MLS. Like, you know, that's all they got, right? So I got so frustrated with buyer agent representation and I had quadrupled my marketing spend, but I was splitting most commissions 3% to me, 3% to them. And so what I did was I started taking 3.5 on the list side and started offering 2.5, and I started instructing my clients to the value of why that was. Now, a lot of agents would be scared to do that because they'd say, well, you're not offering a competitive cooperating agent fee, and agents won't show it. And so to the clients that might have questioned me, I would say, well, let me show you inventory, what inventory looks like. They're going to show it. They're going to show it because they have to show it, right? And they're going to show it because they have to show it because the client wants to see it, and they're in violation of ethics if they don't. And I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure their client sees it, so then they take it to their agent and they have to show it.
Yeah.
Right. So I took some matters into my own hands there. And, you know, a lot of agents got mad at me for it, frankly, really mad. and my response was just simply, okay, you know? And then when I decided to stop doing it, it's because I felt like the market wouldn't bear it. You know, things got too competitive and I needed to do what was best for me and for my clients at that time. So we stopped doing it. But, you know, I still had agents that didn't really get the memo and were doing it for years later. So that's one thing I've done. The other thing I've done is take over the transaction, do it all myself. And I've had, not my intention, but I've had clients of buyer's agents call me, see it, witness it, and call me later to list their house. In fact, I have an agent that just joined our team that is a 3-time client. Okay. The first time I worked with them was when they listed the house they bought that was my listing through another agent. So they bought that my listing through another agent and then called me back later to list it for them.
Nice.
So taking over the transaction, you may say, well, I don't want to do twice the work for half the money. I get it. But that's not all it is.
Yeah.
People know who's in charge. Here's another thing. I win for my clients. I don't harm others, but I win. I get what we want. When you can't keep up, your clients get punished for it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Those are your things.
Cool. All right. Let's move on to this. You sent me this earlier this week.
Yeah, I'm very ranty today.
On the segment, it just says Jay Rant, and there's a link to a Twitter thread.
Yeah. So I want to read this.
Yes.
Can I read it? Did you find it as interesting as I did?
Yeah. I did.
Okay. So I feel like you and I have a slightly different perspective on these things sometimes, but let's get there. And it's just the difference between being a younger and an older millennial, right? Yeah. And it's the Gen X influence on me and probably the Gen Z influence on you, right? Which, by the way, I figured out that my oldest son technically is a Gen Z, and it hit me hard. I'm like, I wanted him to be the whatever's after that, but
yeah,
maybe they'll amend it the way they did with millennials. All right. So, this comes from Any Man Fitness on X. Jason Helms appears to be his name. This is something nobody wants to talk about. Yes, in 1970, you could live comfortably, but you probably had a small house, your kids shared bedrooms, and it was in a blue-collar area. These days, people want to live in a 2,500-plus square foot home in a great neighborhood, out of college on an entry-level salary. That has never been possible. And then, you know, he posts a graph where it says new houses, average square feet over time, you know, starts in 1950 with 1,000 square feet. It peaks probably, I think that's probably 2020, I guess, at like 2,400, almost 2,500 square feet.
Oh, it's above that. It's almost 3,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's almost 3,000. I'm sorry. It is above the line. So 27, 2650, something like that square footage. It's not like very, specifically lined out there. But he goes on to say in subsequent tweet, my parents' first house was 1,000 square feet. It was a bungalow. My in-laws' first house was the same. Both were in less than desirable neighborhoods. As income rose, they saved, they leveled up. You don't get to start out at the top. Listen, I can't. Okay, today's entry-level buyer, most of them, they want too much. They're not willing to sacrifice. Okay. The homes that they turn their noses up to, I am now buying as rental property. You understand? So a lot can be made of home affordability. Yes, I hate that rates are high. Yes, I hate that prices are skyrocketing. But the truth is, I just bought a rental house for $96,000, okay, that has two bedrooms. It has 1,000 square feet. It has a three-car garage with an additional, an accessory dwelling unit over it, right? And no, it's not probably in a neighborhood where most $250,000 or $300,000 buyers would want to live. But, you know, you can do anything for a short period of time, right? And the money you would save, even financing at 8%. Guys, I can finance this property, okay, at 8% interest and rent it out and still positive cash flow it. So what if you lived in it for 2 years and then rented it out and saved your money and then bought a bigger home and then did it again and again and again and again? I mean, it's just the expectations have come so far, so fast. I mean, who ever thought that your first home should have 2,800 square feet? My first home, and this was 2009. This was not 40 years ago. My first home in 2009 had 1,100 square feet. Okay. Now I finished out 400 additional square feet in the attic, made it 1,500 square feet, and I sold it for $75,000 more than I paid for it. Okay. I did that through savings. But had I bought the home that I sold, I would have had no money to put down on the second one. So anyway, I just, expectations is something I work. Entitlement is something I work on very, very substantially with my kids.
Yeah.
I don't want my success to breed their entitlement.
Yep. So I think this is a great point this guy's making. I do think there's probably some pushback points you could find.
Let's hear it.
I think a lot of those higher square foot homes are being built for the boomers that did buy lower level homes and now they're wanting to upgrade, and there's so many of them that need to buy homes.
Possible.
I would say there's a lot of 1,500 square foot homes in the places in Louisville that people want to be that are $350,000, $400,000.
I guess the conflation between new and first is something that I find issue with his argument here. But being in boots on the ground in the business every day, I can tell you entry level buyers don't want to make sacrifices. It's increasingly less.
You're starting to see them want to make sacrifices more now just because they want to be in a home, I would say. You know,
very recently,
our first home, St. Matthew's, two bedroom, one bath, 1,000 square feet, $202,000, sold it 2 years later for $270,000.
Yeah. And great deal. Great deal. Great location. Yep. And you're an insider. You're an industry insider. You couldn't have bought that deal unless you were. Yeah. Right? Same with me. I paid $145 for mine. I sold it for $225. Right? So yeah, but like just generally speaking, entry level buyers are less willing. Now, I mean it's
I wonder if it's because people are buying homes later in life now.
It's possible. So
they don't have the money starting out, but then they get to 28, 29, 30, want to buy their first house, and they don't want that first starter home that maybe people bought when they were 22, 23, 24.
Okay, and we got to get to a break, so I want to say one thing. They could have bought the cheaper home sooner. They didn't want the cheaper home, so they waited to buy the 2,500 square foot home.
Yeah, fair.
Just a point that I feel like we have to make. Right. So the sooner you start, the better off you'll be.
Yeah. We're going to cut to a couple ad sponsors. I feel like this is a really good segment. We could have brought somebody on to argue with that's tried buying a home recently for a starter home. But we'll be back. Jay Pitt Show, Talk Radio 1080, Real News, Real Talk.
Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, They have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670.
Talk Radio 1080.
Welcome back to the Jay Pitt Show. Talk Radio 1080, real news, real talk. Tell y'all we'll always be back, and we always are.
Oh. Dude, I just had a thought a minute ago. Like, you have this Sunday night, like easy jazz DJ voice. I'm looking at Jim, see if I can get a nod from him. Like, when I listen to the radio on Sunday night, you get in your car driving somewhere, and it's just, like, very chill and calm. It's dark outside.
So you're saying if you're falling asleep,
it's sultry. It's sultry, Ryan. It's sultry. I don't fall asleep behind the wheel.
I have zero idea what sultry means.
All right. We're going to look it up. Google it.
You want me to?
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Let's move on. Let's move on. This is, this is descending, descending quickly.
How do we want to end this show? So is there anything you want to tie up there?
No, I don't want to rant anymore. I have an affinity for first time buyers. I love working with them. I just wish sometimes, and I've dealt with plenty of them very close to me, they get out of their own way.
Yeah.
If it's you can be emotional. You don't have to be as transactional as I would be. You can be a little more emotional. You can be emotionally attached. Just like appreciate some aspect of the transactional nature. Like the sooner you do it, even if you don't get everything you want, the better off you're going to be at the end. You'll be happy that you did.
Well, I think probably the reason you're super transactional about it, and I am too, and it's something my wife and I had to discuss. We grew up where everything real estate was transactional, even the homes we always lived in.
Everything's for sale.
Transactional.
I lived in 10 homes by the time I was 11.
Wow.
Yeah. My dad was a builder. I mean, like, he built spec homes, and it was in a bad market for spec homes. We lived wherever he couldn't sell.
Yeah.
That's where we moved. You know, my mom famously talks about cleaning bathrooms on her birthday because we had a closing the next day, you know, like, and the family needed the closing or else, you know.
Yeah.
There was no birthday dinner. Let's put it that way. All right. So, no, I don't want to tie it up, man. I don't want to rant anymore. I just think expectations are and entitlement is too high.
That's one of those topics you go like TikTok or Instagram live and just have people sound off in the comments.
Oh, dude, they'd crush me.
We should do that sometime.
We should.
We need to do it while we do this show.
It would be great.
But, okay. Let's. So, I sent this to you. I saw it on Twitter earlier this week, and you said, I just sent this to my wife. Yeah. So,
she didn't bite, by the way. I'll tell you how that went.
Yeah, you can give some background to that if you want. But the question is, you have 5 minutes to hide a paperclip in your home. A detective has 24 hours to find it, and if they don't, you get $1 million. Where are you hiding it?
So before
first
I answer
about this, I think, why does it have to be a detective?
Yeah.
It can't just be anybody. What's a detective going to do? Go in and ask the wall where a paperclip is?
He's going to ask your friends, like, what do you know about him? Why is he more like... No. Where I went with this was my wife had recently made a joke to me. Okay? Now, it was joking, not joking, but she was like...
It was not joking.
Show
me what.
Yeah, she starts forwarding me, like, TikToks of Christmas in London. And, like, she loves London. She studied abroad there in college, lived there for a couple of months. It's her favorite place on earth. And I'm like, okay, great. We've been there to visit, just she and I. She wants to take the kids. She has the idea that she wants them to be worldly and understand the world. And I get that. There have been things that have prohibited international travel for the last few years, other things that I don't know, that I'm ready. But she's like, what do you think? And I'm like, what do you mean, what do I think? I'm like, it's November. We're not going to London for Christmas. Like, that's in a month.
Yeah.
Like, you can't send me a TikTok as my notice that you plan on trying to convince me to go to London for Christmas this year. It's not happening. So I, you know, felt it would be fun to playfully kind of like, you know, prod her by saying, I hid a paperclip in the house. If you can find it in the next 24 hours, we can go to London for Christmas. Yeah. And so I did not, in fact, hide the paperclip. I just wanted to see if she would look for it. She did not fall. She did not take the bait. She laughed. She thought it was funny, but then she's like, do you really expect me to look for a paperclip? I did not. All right. So where would I hide it? I don't know. Like,
there's a lot of places.
I will tell you my first thought. My first thought was to pull up one of the floor vents and stick it down inside the floor vent and put the the grate back on.
Oh, that's too easy.
How's that easy? What if I hit it in?
I had friends growing up that hid stuff in there.
What if I hit it in the drawer, in the junk drawer, with the other paper clips?
I mean, probably find it. Just take all the paper clips and say, here they are. I saw somebody's answer. I don't know how this person thought of this, but you know cardboard, how it has little openings on the end?
Uh-huh. Stuff it down inside there?
Stuff it down inside there.
But what if it gets thrown away and then it's not your house anymore?
Win-win.
I don't know.
When was so you're just talking about London. Yeah, I think this is a hard question to answer. I think it's fun to think of.
It is fun to think about. It's fun to think about my wife trying to figure out where I hid, because the detective part is what throws it. Like, it's like somebody close to you that really knows you and how you think. That's what kind of makes it fun. So like, where would I hide it that she wouldn't find it? But there's probably a million places that I could put it, she wouldn't find it.
If people buying starter homes would buy 1,000 square foot, you'd have a lot better chance of finding it.
Yeah, this is true.
So what was, talk about London. When was the first time you went out of the country?
First time I went out of the country, I suppose it was in college. I think the first time I went to Holland, went to Amsterdam. I've actually played in a ball tournament. There was this FCA kind of situation where they were traveling internationally and doing mission and playing ball. And I went to Holland and did that, played in a tournament there. So
cool.
Yep.
Have you been out of the country very much?
Not a lot. I've been to the Bahamas a couple of times, been on a couple cruises. That's technically out of the country. I've not been to Mexico. I've not been to Canada. I have been to London, Paris, and Rome on a trip with Jen. But yeah, not out of the country a ton. Yeah,
first time
I Jamaica.
Truly went out of the country was this last summer to Italy. And before that, I'd been to like Canada for a fishing trip. That doesn't really count. You're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even really see anybody. You don't even experience Canada.
Yeah.
Other than fishing, and then Virgin Islands when I was little.
A fair amount of states. I think I've been to 30 states. 35, something like that.
Here's a good question. Does it count going to a state if you just fly into it and leave?
No. I think there is, if you fly into the airport and you have a layover, I don't think that counts. And there are a couple of states that have done that. I want to say Utah is one of those. I flew into Salt Lake once, and that was the only time I've ever been to Utah. But like examples like that, no, I don't count those. No,
absolutely not. All right, what else? So we're recording this on Thursday, the 16th.
Yeah.
Bengals-Ravens tonight. It's a pretty big game.
It's a huge game.
Especially for the Bengals.
It's a huge game for the Bengals. It's bigger for the Ravens after Saturday's or Sunday's loss with the, you know, the field Browns, goal with the buzzer to the Browns.
Is your son, will you let him stay up for that game?
Yeah, I'll let him stay up, and he'll be all over Lamar. I mean, like, he talks trash to his mother because she's from Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati area, and she's a Bengals fan, and I'm kind of a Bengals fan too. I'm kind of torn because I really like Lamar. I really want him to have a breakout season this year after his contract negotiations, but like,
he's doing pretty good.
He's doing pretty good, and he's always done pretty good.
His numbers are almost just as good as his Heisman, or not his Heisman year, but his MVP year.
Exactly. He's always been that guy. Like, he's had some peaks and valleys like anybody in their career, but he's been a pretty consistent. Like, anybody who thought that guy should slip to a second round, and the fact that he went last pick of the first, like, I mean, come on.
Yeah. You need to film your son doing that tonight, talking trash.
Oh, dude. If I could get it on camera, it would be great.
That's the kind of social media stuff people want to see.
Talk trash to his mom. Like, get out of here, mom. It's so funny. He's awful at talking trash, too, because he has to be respectful.
Yeah, so. It's hard to talk trash when you have to be respectful. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
I just listen. Being respectful and comedy is hard too. Nate Bergazzi.
Oh,
have
dude.
You been saying he's been doing it for forever, but it just seems clean. Like the last year he's
blown up,
exploded.
Well, I feel like some of these comedians have really got a hold, and you know, you could talk about Matt Rife and people like that have really harnessed. I mean, now you see like Shane Gillis and Nate Bergazzi.
Going to see him in December.
Gillis. Dude, did you watch his Netflix?
Started, and then I wanted to stop because I didn't know if the show was
going to be the same. We're seeing Matt Rife in Louisville on New Year's Eve. And he has a new Netflix special that we have not watched and we won't watch because I don't want to. I don't want to recycle the content. But Gillis had me laughing at things I was embarrassed that I was laughing at.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's so
it's
I won't.
Kind of comedy though.
It is exactly his kind of comedy. But it was just yeah. Anyway, I won't make you.
I saw some people having a conversation on Twitter about comedians and age, and they're like I don't even know any popular comedians under 40. Matt Rife is a name people threw out. And then everybody started throwing all these names. They're like 41, 42, 40, like 30 or 47.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't anybody could think of under 40. Now, there's some I've started learning about under 40 from. I don't know if you've ever watched the Kill Tony show.
Yeah. Yeah.
On YouTube. I watch that every week now when it comes out.
He does it. He does it in the Mothership in Austin, which is Joe Rogan's new club.
Yeah.
Which is not new anymore, but
it's brutal. I mean, they go after people.
They do, and it is pretty funny. You know, it's crazy, and this guy's fascinating. I'm not a fan, but you know, they've all prescribed. All these comedians have prescribed to that like Andrew Tate virality concept, where they get all these accounts that are not them that are opened up, and they incentivize people to post their content, and it's all of a sudden you see nobody but Shane Gillis or nobody but Matt Rife on TikTok, and it's not even him posting himself.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's how these people like really drive awareness for their craft, which is really bonkers to me that Andrew Tate's the first one to figure that out.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's about all the time we got, man.
Yeah, that's it. That was a good show.
Yeah, I agree. I'm wondering when we're going to go into this takeout meal. It's been on the rundown for like, what's your favorite takeout? Before we go, real quick.
Ooh, Simply Thai.
Simply Thai. Okay, I was going like fast casual more in my head. It's got to be Chipotle, but I'm a big Penn Station guy. Like, it's got to be like a cheat meal, though.
That's my takeout when I was talking. If you get some DoorDash to your house, not going to pick it up.
Oh, well, I'm going straight like El Nepal Mexican, man, for sure. DoorDash. That's cool. Where it's at.
All right,
y'all. That's all the time we got for you this week. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, check us out on the socials. Come back and see us next week. For Ryan Harris, I am your host, Jay Pitts, for the Jay Pitts Show here on Talk Radio 1080.
Peace.
Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, they have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670.
Jay Pitts here, leader of the number one real estate team in Kentucky and host right here on 1080 WKJK. While the average agent sold just 7 homes last year, our team successfully sold over 600. Our proven marketing system gets homes sold for top dollar and gets them sold fast. Many are seeing headlines about prices going down. Want to know the real truth? Text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent via text directly to your phone within 1 hour.
Hello, my name is Megan. Jay's team recently sold my house, and he really went above and beyond. It was fast and easy, and I got $10,000 over list price. The whole team really made this experience simple and stress-free.
Remember, text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888, and receive your no-obligation home value sent directly to your cell phone via text within 1 hour.